scan for alien forms.
Catapult the propaganda.
The truth is out there.
Some alien race to come down and threaten us.
The military-industrial complex.
A highly funded yet unofficial government agency. Take the red pill.
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier.
From a two-bedroom craftsman-style bunker somewhere on the 39th parallel, this is PID Radio. Tonight, we present one of our foundational interviews from the archives. Live from Roswell, New Mexico, one of our favorite guys. It's Guy Malone on PID Radio.
How you doing?
Pretty good.
How's the weather in Roswell, New Mexico today?
Always sunny and hot, actually. my standard greeting on email is greetings from sunny Roswell, New Mexico. That's about 300 days of the year. If we get cloud, we get sunny. Right now, it's summertime. It's going to be sunny and hot until fall.
Until December.
Yeah.
How did you end up in Roswell?
It's kind of a calling, I would imagine. I posted a page years ago when I lived in Nashville after the Heaven's Gate suicide that I guess most people are familiar with that, but I should mention it, that 39 people killed themselves believing they would hop on a UFO and then enter heaven that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a pretty wrong spiritual belief, and I just began a webpage from my own. You'd call it a thesis, I guess. New Testament. It's a book that was hard copy. It's kind of out of print, but you can read it online on UFOs and Christianity. Just a very 101 look at each, comparison, contrast with the overall implication that this stuff is demonic and deceptive. Anything that's going to make you hop on a, you know, kill yourself to enter heaven via a UFO, you know, I believe in the First Amendment. People are free to believe whatever they want to, but my opinion, which I express there, is they were deceived. That's a demonic doctrine that would take people to hell.
Amen for
that. So with that webpage, it's Come Sail Away, UFOs in the Bible. Like I said, it's very introductory 101 view of the New Age or demonic deceptive aspects of the spiritual aspects, I'd say, of ufology, the UFO phenomena. That page was pretty popular at the time in 97, 98, 99. The internet was a pretty small place, and mm-hmm. you got a lot of traffic just if you had a website, period.
Yeah, I remember those days. I was back in Bloomington, Indiana when that happened, and I remember getting on, at least I think it was, either that or I just moved here, and I remember getting online and going to that website, and of course it crashed very quickly.
Oh,
because there were so many,
or?
No, not yours, no,
oh, okay.
The website of the Heaven's Gate people. As soon as it hit the news, because they had a website, everybody who had access to the internet was there, and it crashed very quickly, but there were a lot of really sad doctrine on there.
And he said he was like a minister's son. They claimed to be the reincarnation of the father and Jesus,
mm-hmm.
this couple, Ty and Doe, Marshall Applewhite, and I don't remember the woman's name. But anybody that's just a normal Christian, whether they care or know anything about ufology or UFOs or any interest, they just know, well, that's wrong, that's
mm-hmm.
lies, that's
mm-hmm.
from the pit of hell. So I had my own interest in UFOs lifelong, but I never did anything as far as writing or speaking or, you know, getting into it in a heavy way. But I knew I'd had a calling for some time to write what I felt about this, and that event is what sparked me to put it on the web finally. I got a lot of email over time. I found myself answering email pretty much hours and hours a day. It kind of turned into full-time ministry, just not the kind you get paid for. You just sit at home after work and do it.
Well, at least not the kind you get paid for here on this earth.
True.
You'll get paid for it.
True. Great retirement program. The benefits are awesome as far as But I eventually realized I had a calling or this wild, harebrained idea to move from Nashville, Tennessee to Roswell, New Mexico to get the book located in Roswell, because so many people I've found come here looking for the truth on UFOs, or they want their opinion. It's like a mecca for people that are the least bit into that. They will go out of their way sooner or later in their life, if
mm-hmm.
it ever at all possible, to come here. So I just wanted the book to be available among all the other stuff they have to choose from. So mentioned it kind of to my pastor, who I thought would be kind and talk me out of it as something crazy, but they really affirmed the vision and really blessed the idea that God would call me here as a missionary, even though I had no clue what I'd be doing other than trying to get the book into the tourist hotspots like the UFO Museum.
Hmm.
And that's how I wound up here in 1999.
What kind of success did you have getting the book placed in the tourist spots?
None whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. So they don't want
to. I wound up staying.
Yeah. Well, I suppose they want their alien vision to remain an alien vision. And I guess they don't want to, for people to really see the truth behind it.
Yeah, the UFO Museum told me they had a policy that anything dealing with religion, they didn't carry the book in their gift shop.
Hmm.
And now I looked around, and, you know, just from where we were standing, I pointed to, like, three or four things that I'd seen before. It was New Age religion.
Right.
And they were okay with that. But it worked. It was providential, I guess, because my only plan on moving there was to drop off my book, find a few tourist hot spots, and I didn't think I would live in Roswell for long, like 6 or 9 months. But I did move there, period, just without any real clue what I'd be doing. So it kind of became a joke that the UFO Museum wouldn't carry it because it dealt with religion. Then the local Christian bookstore on Main Street wouldn't carry it because it dealt with UFOs. You know, rock and a hard place, all that stuff. But
Finally,
after months there, I got the vision, idea, or whatever, to open up my own place in downtown Main Street. And that was the officially dubbed Alien Resistance Headquarters after a second website I began. I can tell you more about that later.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a bookstore that offered biblical perspectives on UFOs and abductions from various authors. I was one of them. But since nobody would carry the book, I just kind of joked around just to be a smart aleck, open my own place. Now that you're here, this is the only location in Roswell that offers biblical perspectives on UFOs and abductions.
And have you had good traffic?
Fairly well. I'm now in my third location, and it's actually run by a couple that moved here a little more than a year ago. Just like in the last month or two, this has gone on. But the best location I had was right across the street from the UFO Museum.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah, sweet.
They could, you know, anybody in their parking lot could see it. You know, I had my URL up in the sign. We offered internet access and coffee, so it got people wandering in that weren't really interested. What I found over the years of doing it is that 95% of the people who were there in Roswell and who would be walking into my store, they weren't really what I would consider my target audience. People who kind of, sort of were interested in or believed in this stuff and either wanted or needed a spiritual viewpoint, much less a Christian viewpoint, or to know, or getting into, you know, most of the people, they were just there because they're traveling. They pulled over because Roswell is Roswell. They'll get some pictures and some laughs and wander through the UFO Museum, buy some trinket or T-shirt and, you know, take some funny photos downtown and then get on their way.
Mm-hmm.
The people that it is a destination or mecca for were pretty rare as far as, you know, how many would actually cross the street. I mean, it was five lanes, a little five-lane main street that they would have to walk across to come see us. But we still did get decent traffic. It was never self-supporting, though, as far as we sold enough books or internet or coffee to pay for everything. A lot of it just continued to come out of my pocket. After I started putting the conferences together, it just seems my direction has shifted that way. There's definitely people interested in this stuff. They came to the conference. One of my web pages gets over 1,000 unique visitors a day. And I have a link up there to prove that. I'm not just saying it, but you can look at the statistics. And so I know, even though Roswell is a good idea, it's a good place to start. And really, it's like having, if you're into this field, living in Roswell is like having PhD at the end of your name. It's better. People just assume you're an expert. So
I like that.
I have that going on. But I see more in the future is the conferences I've done with mostly Christian speakers who are really studied on the subject, and they're not debunkers. There's enough interest in that to where I can see myself, I'm trying to schedule more and more out-of-town things because I've gotten pretty experienced going to UFO conferences, secular ones anyway, just set up a table with books and stuff like that and talk to people. And the interest is there. It's just as far as if you're going to sit around in a storefront and wait for them to come to you, that doesn't really have a lot a lot of traffic as far as my target audience. So it's kind of like seek and save that which was lost. I know the interest is there. I know from the website. I know that from the response to our DVDs and conferences we've done. So in the future, what I did was I closed the storefront on Main Street, and a couple that helps me out a lot is doing it out of, they have a studio, art glass and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So Alien Resistance Headquarters still exists in Roswell, just at a different location, mm-hmm. scaled down a little bit too with books and DVDs. And I plan to be going out to find the people who really want to settle into the meat of this and see, and just find out what the Bible has to say, go to hotels or churches and have small one-day conferences.
Now, you mentioned the conference. We should talk this up a little bit, because this is a pretty unique event, at least as far as what we can tell from the little bit of research we've done into this whole topic. The Ancient of Days UFOs and Biblical Prophecy Conference, which comes up in early July, 4th of July weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And why did you pick that particular weekend, and what is the focus of the conference?
Sure. July 4th is the believed date of the Roswell crash in 1947. So Roswell, for close to the last decade, has had a fairly large UFO festival here in town on July 4th weekend. In 97, it was in all the news and headlines that they drew 40,000 to 50,000 people to Roswell, which is a town of less than 50,000, and you couldn't get a hotel room for hours away was the problem. They've continued having a UFO festival where they have just various speakers, and it's intended to be a fun event. They don't get a whole lot of serious speakers or researchers on the topic, a few, but, you know, they'll try to have a carnival atmosphere for it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of people, if they're the least bit interested in UFOs, a trip to Roswell would be fun for them. So a couple years ago, I began a conference that had six Christian speakers that I've met mostly on the Internet who had really awesome work on this stuff. I mean, very credible, well-received among non-Christian audiences in most cases. You've interviewed Mike Kaiser. He was one of them.
Right.
And that was the Ancient of Days conference in 2003. What we covered was this Genesis 6 angle
uh-huh.
of fallen angels mating with human women and the parallels to how that activity seems to be repeating itself today.
Right.
That's kind of one of the big premises you'll get off any of our sites, is that contactees, people that are abductees or in communication with entities, our main premise is that it's a repeat of what you see in Genesis 6.
Mm-hmm.
Genetic manipulation.
Look up the DNA.
And even beyond that, just the whole aspect of fallen angels having sex with women.
Mm-hmm.
That's really kind of the repeated thing that you see both in Genesis 6, extra-biblically the Book of Enoch,
mm-hmm.
but the technology that they were supposedly giving mankind and advancing technology, there's a ton of parallels between that. It's pretty commonly known now in Internet circles, I would say. In 97 and 99, when I built the alienresistance.org website, it was very new information, though, and there wasn't a lot of credible writing or Bible studies on it. But we covered all that as a live conference that I'd probably say less than 50 people attended in 2003. In 2004, I brought back most of those same speakers and had a total of 14 speakers, but seven were not Christians. They were just modern, very credible secular researchers into the UFO phenomena. Some of
mm-hmm.
the top names, so to speak, like Richard Dolan and John Greenwald.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You're familiar with those guys?
Mm-hmm.
I certainly am.
Stephen Bassett is a 50. He's got a political action committee in Washington, D.C. for pressing the government to tell the truth on UFOs.
Oh.
He was the fellow who organized the X conference.
Exactly.
That's
yeah.
why
he
his
was,
name is familiar. Yeah.
He's done two of those in Washington, D.C. He was our keynote speaker for the dinner banquet last year. Mixed it up across three and a half days, really, to where we had both Christian and non-Christian speakers hearing one another out. You know, I made it plain that no point of view is unwelcome here, but it has to be based on research, not on dogma.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be able to prove why you're saying what you're saying and, you know, sound convincing to an audience that may or may not be sympathetic already with your point of view. Then we had like a three-hour panel discussion after that was over among most of the speakers. That was cool. That was historic. Generally speaking, because of the demonic aspects that Christians see or the deceptive religion, the UFO community and the Christian church are just short of natural enemies. Don't get along well at all. You know, don't talk to me about that stuff. I don't believe you. You know, whatever camp you're hearing new information from, you think they're just full of crap mainly. Mm-hmm. But we had a very historic and amiable meeting of the minds. But as far as a pattern, you know, you're asking, you know, why this theme for this year? It seemed pretty obvious. In 2003, we definitely covered the ancient past, ancient records, ancient texts, especially around the Genesis 6 and Enoch stuff. In 2004, it was the modern stuff, the best modern research of the 20th century in UFO research. So that left, okay, well, what would be the next logical thing to do? We've done the past, we've done the present, what's that leave?
Mm-hmm.
And so we're concentrating on Bible prophecy in 2005 in mm-hmm. July. And the main thing I'm going to have to make clear in the opening remarks or when I begin this, people come down, is that when you get the Genesis 6 paradigm, when you understand that that really is dealing with angels who were intermingling with humanity, that changes your whole view of the Old Testament. Because
mm-hmm.
you realize that, you know, all of us, Christian or not, you start reading the Bible and you get to the parts where God says, go kill all the men, women, and children in this tribe. Don't leave anyone standing. Don't, you know, kill the animals. That gives you a very freaked out or unloving view of God. You just
right.
don't want anything to do with this God person.
That's right. For our audience, I just want to explain that the barking you hear
yeah.
are our three dogs. They're singing in the background. They don't like fallen angels. They don't even want to hear about it.
And we suspect that often when they're barking at things we can't see, it's things that they can see. And so that's
yeah.
why we had
really.
Yeah.
So they are our alarm system. I'm sorry, go ahead.
You and they are completely snoozing right now because
are
it's
they?
Hot here. Yeah, it's kind of warm.
Well, we've got a little cool spell coming through here, so ours are very active today.
Yeah,
yeah, I was going to roll past the dogs and just figured they'd get quiet in a minute without commercial interruption or whatever. The Genesis 6 stuff, once you realize that what God is commanding the Israelites to wipe out there is the Nephilim, the fallen hybrid races, the
right.
giants, that every – Mike Heiser did a wonderful talk on Genesis 6 and going through the Old Testament. He showed their lineage, their nationality, and then he just walked you through the Old Testament everywhere that they wandered and were instructed to kill people. They were these Nephilim people that were – kind of supplanting, taking over humanity.
Mm-hmm.
But all I said was, once you get the Genesis 6 thing, it changes your view of the Old Testament.
Yeah,
amen
absolutely.
To that.
Absolutely.
Amen to that.
Then you begin to see stuff in the New Testament that you didn't quite, you're like, oh, wait a minute. This mm-hmm. is spiritual, and this is very real as far as the fallen angels, because the church is not historically faithfully taught that view of Genesis 6. I'll keep that short right now and tell more about that in a bit. But eventually, you almost, well, wait a minute. Well, if it changes your view of the Old Testament, if it changes your view of the New Testament, it does begin to, you see things in your interpretation of Bible prophecy that have never been brought out by any of the main 20th century teachers you may know of, like Hal Lindsey, just for instance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There seems
mm-hmm.
to be this cottage industry of Bible prophecy teachers that's sprung up in the last 20, 25 years.
That's right.
You might say since 1947 in Israel, because that was, you know, very important on the prophetic clock.
And it's no coincidence that Roswell happened at the same time.
Yeah, you're right. That's a... the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered in 47.
Mm-hmm.
Israel declared herself a nation. And the way I did that in one talk on the Book of Enoch, since that was rediscovered and reaffirmed by the Dead Sea Scrolls, is on one end of the globe, a mystery falls from the sky. And then on the other end, over in Israel, the earth belches up one of its mysteries.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good way to put it.
Everything in the Dead Sea Scrolls affirms what Genesis 6 and the Book of Enoch say about these supernatural beings, whether you call them aliens or angels, we'll just leave it at non-human supernatural entities that were taking human women and giving mankind advanced technology on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So as you present that, I'm like, well, in 1947, the Dead Sea Scrolls come out affirming everything that the Bible teaches about that thing, is that as one mystery is falling from the sky, it's almost like providentially this is God's answer,
mm-hmm.
so that the church can understand the era that began in 1947. The church can really get a good foothold into understanding these entities that are now appearing globally again, because it seems like for a couple thousand years, it wasn't a big problem, at least for the Western Church. But eventually, what I'm letting the speakers run with is a little bit of speculation. Everybody's got very different views on prophecy, it seems. You know,
mm-hmm.
rapture, no rapture, pre-trib, mid, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Amillennial, on and on. But the common denominator is that all these speakers, they get the Genesis 6 paradigm. So the question, or what they're going to be allowed to elaborate on, according to their area of research and specialty, is how does the Genesis 6 paradigm in general, and UFOs in specific, fit into your view of future end time events? It's pretty generically known. Christianity 101 involves revelation, teaching a one-world government under Antichrist, and a grand delusion that would fool even the elect if that were possible.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the common theories I started with in my book in 1997, which I consider very 101 now, is that if a rapture happens and all the Christians are taken away, or many of them, that the world is going to explain that as an alien abduction.
Mm-hmm. I think that's very likely.
It's very likely.
Yeah.
And oddly enough, it was a new idea in 97. But I got all kinds of email from people saying, oh, that's perfect, or I've always thought that. I've just never seen it so well elucidated or written out as
mm-hmm.
a Bible study thesis as I did in my first book. Now, there's many Christians who don't believe in the rapture at all. They just don't take that futuristic end times view of Revelation, or they think that the rapture happens so much later in the tribulation period that it would be an unnecessary deception.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why would you say it's alien abduction? You know, everything's falling apart by then anyway. But that's one view, and some of the speakers are going to be playing off of that theme. But between Mike Heiser, who you're familiar with,
mm-hmm.
he's doing the Sons of God, the Genesis 6 term for the angels, and
mm-hmm.
biblical prophecy. People, there's one who has built anti-gravity machines for the U.S. and Australian government, Stan Deo. He's going to be talking about anti-gravity and the technological aspects of the New World Order. Norm Franz will be dealing mostly in economics of the New World Order and even how that relates to UFO research he's lectured on and printed out before.
Mm-hmm.
Another guy is talking, Bill Schnobelin is doing UFOs, masonry, and the occult social order, of how UFOs fit into the occult social order of both the New Age movement and then the future, you know, what he believes about the future of mankind and Bible prophecy. So I'm giving them all the flexibility to be a little speculative, to disagree with each other a little bit. But it's most people want to know, you know, no matter how good you are at teaching or convincing, good or no matter how well received you are on the Genesis 6, you know, everyone will say, well, what's the practical implications of this to me? Why should I care?
Sure.
Essentially. So pinning down where in Bible prophecy this stuff potentially or possibly fits, it makes it really hit home. It's pretty relevant. They're like, oh, I see this now. I see why this is important now. I see why Christians need to be educated in this stuff, because it does affect, you know, a lot of people believe, you know, whether you go back to Star Trek movie First Contact or Art Bell's term, the quickening, that
mm-hmm.
there is a
mm-hmm.
massive event of some sort on the near horizon,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
where Stephen Bassett's word for it is disclosure, when the government formally and publicly acknowledges the extraterrestrial presence. Well, if you have these beings openly walking the streets and communing with humans, though, I mean, that seems to be the next event. The New Age movement interprets that as a wonderful thing coming up to help usher humanity into the New Age and
mm-hmm.
step up into the Galactic Brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
It so happens that most normal conservative Christian interpretations of that event link it to the end times.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And we're going to take a short break right there, so hold that thought, and we will be back in just a few minutes.
With more from Guy Malone in Roswell, New Mexico on PID Radio.
In the 14th century, the Black Death killed nearly one-third the population of Europe. In 1918, the Spanish flu killed as many as 100 million people. The next great plague may already be spreading. Inspired by today's headlines, it's the Armageddon Strain, the explosive new thriller from Sharon K. Gilbert. At a laboratory somewhere in the desert southwest, a secretive group has created a deadly virus for a single purpose, to eliminate 90% of human life. Standing in their way is Dr. Maggie Taylor, a woman broken by grief and alcohol, who must somehow find the strength to unravel the mystery of her father's death in time to stop the virus from being released. Infuse magazine says Sharon Gilbert has a talent for making you feel good, scared, on the edge of your seat, and dying for more. And Christian Fiction Review says Sharon Gilbert does a very nice job of building suspense and horror step by step. The Armageddon Strain from Sharon K. Gilbert, the newest release in the Myth Arc, the ultimate battle for mankind. Available now online and at bookstores everywhere.
Bunker and PID Radio continues. I'm Derek Gilbert.
And this is Sharon Gilbert. Get your coffee ready and get your computers ready, and we're going to go to the website. Guy, can you tell us where your website is?
Yeah, I've got about half a dozen related to this phenomena. Most of them are all listed under alienstranger.com. That's my newest one. I have so many that I'd print a card and it just became useless in months because I'd have something new I'd be wanting to share. So all of my sites are listed under alienstranger.com.
Okay. That's a wonderful photo of you there, Guy.
Thank you. I do photograph better than I actually look in person.
Hey, look at that.
Well, yeah, I get about a 12-year career in radio before joining the normal workforce, and I was told many times that I had a face made for radio.
Yeah, that's why I picked that one in particular. Listeners will just have to click on the site, and they'll see what we're talking about.
I don't know. You have large, dark, reflective eyes, sort of a round head. I don't know. Are you alien?
Like I said, I look much better in pictures than live in person. Patrick Heron's one of the speakers at the upcoming conference, all the way from Dublin, Ireland.
Ooh.
And he emailed me. He finally found a real photo of me by clicking through the slides. He goes, I see now why you lead with that one.
Well, not to fear, listener, you can look at our website, peeringintodarkness.com, and you will see a picture of the real Guy Malone.
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah, we found one and linked to your site from ours there. Now, I noticed that you got lectures and DVDs available at alienstranger.com. Now, these are the conference speeches or presentations given from
2004. Yeah, you list, like when you run down the list of sites that are right there on the front middle of Alien Stranger, you've got alienresistance.org. That's the big motherlode site. That's a good place to start talking. The next one is ancientofdays.net, which is the conference we do in July, and the DVDs that are listed there are everything that was recorded July 2004, both the secular speakers proving to skeptics, more or less, that UFO and abductions are real, need to be taken seriously, but I would say worthy of scientific and theologic inquiry. And then also the Christian speakers who talked about the Genesis 6 stuff, the abduction phenomena, Joe Jordan's talk on stopping abductions and using the name of Jesus, and even the panel discussion is listed from there. We're not getting rich off them because they're not listed as, you know, 1990. There's over 20 talks on there, so I'm not of the means, and most people aren't, to pay 20 or 25 bucks per talk. We use a compressed format video to put like 4 or 5 lectures on one DVD, and then even when you click through to buy one, it's a donation. Donation.
That is fabulous.
Process. You name your own price. As long as I'm not going to lose money sending it to you, we'll send it. You know, postage and reproduction cost and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But again, 4 or 5 lectures on one DVD, and I don't suggest a donation. Just leave it up to you.
That's awesome, because it sounds like a real treasure trove of information, mm-hmm. considering the speakers that you had.
Yeah, I mean, I watch them all the time, and I mean, God provided everything. I don't, like I said, I'm not rich, but to produce that conference between airfare and hotel and everything that you involve, I spent $14,000 for that weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first had the idea for it, I didn't have $2 on me. I'm just like, well, God, that's going to cost a lot of money. But I didn't say no, or I didn't say you got the wrong guy.
Mm-hmm.
I just began to email and invite the speakers, tell them what I was doing. And I think that even though I didn't pay them or I didn't offer to on the front end, I think the big hook was Roswell, New Mexico. Most of them had never come to Roswell, so they're like, yeah, sure, we'll come.
Mm-hmm.
So I got them cheap. The other conferences pay anywhere from $100 to $1,000 for a speaker appearance.
Oh, yeah.
And because I go to those all over the country, the secular UFO ones. And there's even Christian people that tell you, no, I won't come for less than X amount of money. And nobody on in this conference replied in that way, secular or Christian for that matter. But, now that it's done, though, I mean, by the time it was over, I paid every bill and didn't apparently have 2 cents left over. But it was done, so I knew God was really in the details.
Amen. And God provided exactly what you needed, and that's how I often
everything
does it.
As far as my sites, the conferences, it just, to me, the constant witness of God's presence is there, because I always say, He wants this done a lot more than I do. And, you know, anybody that's willing to do what God wants done in the earth, you've really got a powerful backer on your side. You just kind of show up and
mm-hmm.
see the wonders that God does.
That's
but
the truth.
He wants this information out. Like you said, it really is a treasure trove of information, of speakers, of knowledge, of Bible study. People have got 20, 30 years of either secular research or Bible study in this one niche topic on UFOs and the Genesis 6 and angel-alien deception. And it's all there. It's, you know, that's the easy way of saying it. It's all there on these DVDs right now.
That's
but,
right.
It was a work of God. I'm sure He wanted it done more than I did. People often ask after the first 2003 conference. It's a lot of work organizing one of these things. It takes a lot of time. But people would say, "Oh, this is great. This is awesome. Are you going to do this again next year?" Yeah, right.
You're so tired at that point. That's the last question
God
you want to.
Punishing me. And I didn't think I was. I didn't even think that I was going to do another one. I was like, "Well, we did it already. What's left to do?" But within just a few days after the 2003 event was over, woke up one day and there it was. The whole vision, who to invite, the format, the panel discussion, everything was just there. And I, like I said, I sent out the emails. The people responded positively. So I just put the schedule online, and over the next year's time, enough people registered. I think it was $59, same as this year, but enough people registered to pay all those expenses. And a lot of it came down to the last minute of people walking in the door and either paying to attend or buying some of the conference lectures they'd seen.
Mm-hmm.
By the time the weekend was over, I didn't take a penny out of my own pocket, and I didn't have any left over to put into it.
That's incredible. You know, and Guy, this is a topic that Sharon and I have felt for some time needed to be discussed
mm-hmm.
in the public square, and that's why we're writing the type of fiction that we do. In fact, the
sure.
Crop circles and abductions is something that she covers in her first novel, Winds of Evil. But we wanted to be sure that the information that we were putting out there, the information on which we built the stories, was accurate,
right.
so that we could draw people in
mm-hmm.
right with a story and get them to think about the nature of things that are happening out there in the world. Now, we do want to talk about the abductions. You mentioned Joe Jordan, and
mm-hmm.
the title of your website and the Alien Resistance Headquarters indicates that there is something there that needs to be resisted.
Fended off?
Fended off.
Yes, definitely.
What is going on with the abductions, and how can someone protect himself or herself from this sort of thing happening?
I think there's at least two or three streams of things that are going on. The Genesis 6 record, that's clearly physical things that happened in real space and time. Angels incarnated into physical bodies and left children behind, you know, to avoid all the graphics, you know, in between
mm-hmm.
those two statements. But that was really going on then. Now,
mm-hmm.
If you carefully read Genesis, it seems it was consensual. abduction is a tough, is kind of a stretch of a word.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little Bible study in itself when you get into the language and what was really going on there.
Mm-hmm.
And when Jesus talks about in Matthew 24:37, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man,
mm-hmm.
as Bible prophecy. The clue there is we'll look back to the days of Noah and see what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
There was wars, rumors of wars, marriages, giving marriages, children disobedient to parents, and all that stuff. Everything that we believe about the end times is happening right now. The one missing ingredient seems to be this Genesis 6 factor of angels cohabitating with human women.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I see that I would argue as far as prophecy in the end times that is not happening today, that is more or less an unfulfilled Bible prophecy. But with the alien or angelic abduction scenario, what we see is exactly like the ancient records of these beings cohabitating with human women, producing hybrid races, and advancing mankind's technology. The thing that's still up to question right now is I think it is true if you read books like Abduction by John Mack, or the authors Bud Hopkins or David Jacobs.
Mm-hmm.
These are all credentialed men today, universities, Harvard, that believe that have people's testimonies of a cohabitation and an abduction of some sort happening with involving them and other creatures. So there's a physical aspect where it really is happening. I also think that there's an astral aspect where what some people believe or what they remember as an alien abduction, and I will say this is, I think, my case as well, is more of a dreamscape astral experience.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you say your case, you mean this happened to you?
Oh, yes, yes. Childhood experiences. Further down on the alienstranger.com site is a link to the book or the 1997 website that got all this started. And along with my New Testament thesis, I include my own personal experiences from childhood of, you would just say, visitations by entities, more or less. A lot of it's the classic, almost today, you'd say it's stereotypical, big-headed beings with big eyes. You traveled, you were taught things, the experiences were sexual, and I include all that. It's in great detail. If you click through the book, Come Sail Away.
Okay, rather than going
online
to that now in a limited time, yeah, we'll just encourage listeners to go to your website and take a look at the Come Sail Away.
Of course, I usually don't get into gory graphic details in interviews, TV, or radio, but it is all there for the reading. I think there's a definite significant portion of people out there that have similar experiences, and just for their own sanity's sake, it helps them to see that in text that somebody else, otherwise normal, sane person, well, questionable, but anyway, has gone through this stuff and basically come through it okay. What happened after I moved to Roswell, I put together, I had my book, like I said, that was like one little piece of the puzzle, along with my own personal experiences and then New Testament thesis that I put forward back then. I found online Chris Ward, who's a Florida pastor, who had a lot of written information on his site on Genesis 6. This is right about the time Chuck Missler's book was coming out. He spoke in Roswell in 1997 and did some of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Chris was in the same fellowship of churches as Chuck was, and there was a lot of material Chris shared, and I'd say also David Flynn with Missler and Eastman. A lot of the bibliographies that you see in the book, Alien Encounters, was actually compiled by, the research was done by David Flynn, Chris Ward, I would say Tim Unruh as well. A lot of what you read in the Alien Encounters book, I usually don't get into this, but I would say is uncredited to these guys because their ministries were kind of outside the box of normal Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't include their names in it, but I've got a lot of documentation on just plagiarized statements and stuff. Anyway, sorry about that. But Chris Ward, he had a lot of this on the internet. He was ministering to abductees, people in the occult, Satanism. And when you read his material, you see that he lumps the alien abduction scenario under just demonic attack in general, incubus, succubus, occultism, and alien abduction, but it's all the same. He as an exorcist or deliverance minister, he was personally ministering to people with that. Joe Jordan was not a Christian years back. He worked for MUFON, M-U-F-O-N, Mutual UFO Network,
right.
as a field investigator of UFO sightings. He got interested in abductions, and within a couple of years, he began documenting that some people were claiming to have stopped this experience in the name of Jesus Christ. The
really?
Same as he would a regular deliverance or exorcism.
Mm-hmm.
It is still what you'd call the only documented way of stopping an alien abduction is in the name of Jesus Christ. And usually it's when the person is a Christian, a born-again believing Christian, who can stop it. He contacted all the biggest name UFO research or abduction researchers in the country, and they made him go off the record. He can't use my name, but yeah, I have cases like this. No, I haven't published them because I don't want people to think I'm a kook. So Joe didn't care what people thought of him, so he published them. And what I did under alienresistance.org was put all three of our websites under one banner, simply because we come from three completely different backgrounds, three completely different viewpoints, but we all had wound up at pretty much the same conclusions. And it added a lot of credibility as well, because nobody really knows who Guy Malone is or what my site, you know, you could have been on Heaven's Gate's webpage for all you know it.
Mm-hmm.
Click through to something dealing with UFOs and the Bible. Same thing with Joe and Chris. Put it under a .org, and in 1999, there weren't a lot of .orgs, so it made it look real impressive, and the site became, took on a life of its own, well beyond my Come Sail Away site, and well beyond what Joe and Chris were experiencing. But it just, as far as a credible resource for biblically related UFO material, we were probably the first big thing on the internet that had that served people that were interested in that sort of thing. I often say you're not going to get an official doctrinal statement from any Christian denomination on UFOs and alien abductions.
That's for sure.
Just call them up and say, hey, I saw a UFO, or hey, I was abducted. What does your church believe about that stuff? Can you help me?
Yeah, I think
if you don't get hung up on, you'll get referred to a psychiatrist instead of the Bible.
Yeah.
That's the problem there. So
you want to talk to the Presbyterians.
That's right.
I've since put billions of articles and other links on it since then. Other people, like I said, Mike Heiser and David Flynn, have done wonderful work in research in this field, both theology and conspiracy theory and secular research. So that site on its own gets over 1,000 hits, 1,000 unique visitors, I'd say, per day on that site. And I even have a little link to prove that to you, to the graphics mm-hmm. in my site statistics. That's what I was saying earlier. I know people are interested in this stuff. You don't see them every day, or people don't talk about it every day over coffee or at lunch when they're at work.
We do.
But but you're weird.
That's right.
Well. Hey.
That's the problem. You really can't talk about this stuff in society without immediately being written off, giggled at, or considered weird.
No, that's absolutely true. I try to raise issues like this occasionally at work, and my coworkers will immediately start to look at me sideways and edge toward the door.
Yeah, like you have snakes growing off your head.
Yeah.
Now, privately, they're very interested is what we usually find out. That's something Richard Dolan is big on saying that got him involved in UFO research. Publicly, there is this giggle factor, but privately, there is a huge interest, especially among government and military types
mm-hmm.
who knew it was real. So in the safety of the internet, people love reading about this stuff, and they love teaching themselves, even if they know, because a lot of people are experiencers. The number that's been tossed around for about 30 years is 1 in 40 people have had an alien abduction, if that's the way they remember it. But you just say an encounter with a non-human entity. Roper polls and Gallup polls have always clocked in at between 2-3% of the population. I think it was either Jacques Vallée or J. Allen Hynek was asked kind of off the cuff, well, how many people does this really affect? How relevant is this? And he looked over his shoulder and said, 1 in 40, which shocked the interviewer. But 1 in 40 is 2.5%. That's what 1990s Roper and Gallup polls have believed. whatever's happened to them, 1 in 40 people believe this has happened to them. Again, I don't really think it's honest aliens, extraterrestrial biological entities from other planets traveling here in nuts and bolts spacecraft, performing science experiments. But the secular research is there to prove that this genetic hybridizing program is going on. And hardly anybody wants to talk about it.
Well, you know, Ephesians 6 is very clear. It's odd that it's Genesis 6 and Ephesians 6, because it says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are against a spiritual enemy, and you have to battle that enemy in a spiritual means. You have to use the Word of God.
And the authority, testimony, blood, you know, the... They love their lives not unto death, but it was the word of God, their testimony, and the name of Jesus Christ is above all names.
That's right.
The thing that the secular research community won't grab onto generally.
Sure.
They want to believe that it's aliens. They want to believe they're here to save the planet, or at least can give us enough technology to give us a boost to where we could save ourselves with, you know, free energy and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And space travel, the final frontier, you know, step up and join the Galactic Brotherhood. What a lot of the credible biblical, and I'd even say a lot of the credible scientific research bears out, though, is that this is a non-physical phenomena, that it's not true nuts and bolts craft. The earliest and most famous UFO researchers of the 60s, like Jacques Vallée, J. Allen Hynek, I mentioned already, have documented and stated, yes, they believe UFOs are real. No, they're not physical. That they're not part of the normal physical reality.
Mm-hmm.
It's just secular words for what Christians call the spiritual realm, just like you said, mm-hmm. spiritual wickedness in high places. You can judge this stuff by their fruit. If they're honestly taking mm-hmm. people against their will, that's evil. If they're abducting, raping, having sex with people against their will, that's evil.
Mm-hmm.
So, all relativism aside, you can categorize, and again, the proof's in the pudding, as far as if you can stop the experiences in the name of Jesus Christ, well, that really puts a big hole in the alien hypothesis theory.
That's one of the first things that really caught my attention the first time I saw a book on UFOs in a church book library.
Mm-hmm.
Was, I think, Chuck Missler's book. And the fact that jumped out of that book to me was the fact that you really could not document any cases where sincere Bible-believing, Spirit-filled Christians had reported an abduction. With one possible exception, but it was a woman who had gone willingly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd say that info is a little dated because...
this is an older book. What was the Nephilim? Is that the Return of the Nephilim? Is that the name of the book?
Might have been. It's some time ago, yeah.
But that is I'd say that's a 95 percentile truth, but... You get involved with this, you get to talking to people. Yeah, you do have experiences of real Bible-believing, strong Christians, not in sin, that once or twice you're going to run across people that it is happening to. And it's really just a case of understanding the nature of evil and good theology in general, that yes, bad things can happen to good people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you mentioned...
Get down to the...
I'm sorry, go ahead, Guy.
One thing Chris has brought out for years is, down to the nitty-gritty of it, Jesus was abducted, per se, when you read the account in the wilderness. A fallen angel, Lucifer, appeared to him and took him to the highest point of the temple and to a very high mountain. In God's providence, God allowed for Jesus, in his flesh and blood form, like you and I, to be taken by an angelic being, an evil angelic being.
Mm-hmm.
There was a reason or a purpose for it. So I'm always willing, and really I think it's necessary, to point out that, yeah, you occasionally have cases where this stuff does happen to Christians. And it's not because, it's not always, I'd say, because they're in sin or they're dabbling in the occult. Providentially, God may have a reason for you being in a wheelchair. Providentially, God may have a reason for you getting AIDS, even if it was your own sin that got you there.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually... You keep that in mind. 95 to 99% of the time, it doesn't happen to Christians, at least not to the extent that people are reporting in the secular abduction books. And 95 to 99% of the time, as long as the person is not inviting the experience or enjoying it or wanting it, they can stop the experience through Jesus' name.
Well, you know, you're clearly fighting the good fight. So has the enemy continued to try to take you?
I think in my adult life, actually never until I went to Roswell, until I picked the fight by moving and stirring up trouble. I went through at least 20 years of I left them alone and they left me alone. But anyone that's had this happen, the commonality is that if it's a childhood experience for you, it's going to happen again in your adult life, and it's going to happen to your children. Again, I'd say Jesus Christ and breaking the generational curses is the antidote for that. But after I moved to Roswell, it seemed like very early I had what I'd consider two attempts that, as a Christian who saw this for what it was, I didn't believe the alien crap, or I didn't believe that it was I didn't believe the alien deception. And as I felt, or the presences or the experience, it felt more like being lifted out of my body. Even if I couldn't move, just the thought life and the presence of mind to resist and be angry enough to say no, and in the name of Jesus Christ, breaking the authority. So I had two pretty early experiences in Roswell where it seemed like I was being taken, but I ended the experience right there, and then just got out of bed and walked around for a second. Oh, boy. Hadn't had to deal with that for years. And it seems like once or twice since, but the very two early ones in Roswell, right after I moved there, within about 3 or 4 months, that seemed to be like punishment or whatever, backlash. You know, whenever you begin to do something in ministry, and you've stepped on the devil's territory, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know, there's going to be a fight. But the point is, in Jesus' name, I ended the experience and then went about developing the Alien Resistance website, starting the storefront, and moving on into conferences. And I can, it's vague, but I'm pretty sure once or twice something else like that has happened. And again, they've all ended the same way. Through Jesus.
Praise God.
Well, Guy, you mentioned Stephen Bassett, and I just want to touch on this quickly because I know the conference happened just recently in April. The X Conference in Washington, D.C., which was set up by a gentleman who is trying to push the government into disclosing things that he believes the government knows about the alien, quote-unquote, presence here on Earth. And we exchanged a couple of emails with Mike Heiser, who indicated it was very interesting. Just we're curious about your take. I understand you were there.
Oh, yeah. I went to the first one in April of last year and the one they just had in April 2005. And Stephen does a good job of assembling some very credible people as far as witnesses and government testimony and activists who, like myself, believe the government needs to come clean and tell us what they know on this phenomena. The next conference, I think it's a very important event because if you're a skeptic or you don't believe this stuff is true, there's a few conferences around the country you might want to spend some time at. And again, I did my best to many of the speakers that were at the X conference were also the ones I had last year at Ancient of Days to present the truth, or you know, to present what the government documents actually reveal, the stuff that's not making it on the news. I think just for a good dose of reality, Christians especially, but skeptics in general, need to know this stuff, for it really is real. It's going on. There's a reason it fascinates so many people's attention. There's a reason that people make a religion out of it, because they get interested, they find out it's true, they find out it's suppressed, and they find out it's covered up, and it becomes a cause for them to find out more truth. And not everyone's going to go the distance Stephen has by forming a political action committee and then assembling many more speakers. But it's always Stephen's is one of the more credible things. A lot of the UFO conferences have a very hardcore New Age bias to them, to where they don't even really wind up talking much about UFOs or authentic research. It's just every speaker comes on and gives a real New Age spin on their views of religion, life, philosophy. Oh, and the aliens are here to help save the day. They're ascended masters or spirit guides or reincarnated Earth people, you know, that are here to help us evolve as a planet. But the X Conference, every UFO conference has an element of that. And the difference in what Stephen does is he describes himself as a secular humanist. He doesn't really have a strong belief system, religious, Christian, New Age, Buddhist, Muslim, anything. But he does recognize, one of the things he said when introducing Mike Heiser as a speaker, and again, the fact that Mike Heiser was there as a Christian giving his views was immensely historic at a generally speaking secular UFO conference. But Stephen said when he was introducing him, you know, what we have to admit is humanity is a religious species, and this disclosure, UFO, extraterrestrial presence is a big event in humanity. And that's one thing he complimented me about in July last year at Ancient of Days, is that with the government, media, and educational institutions in America, he said, you know, he was a Vietnam kind of protester. He didn't get too involved back then, but he said for the first time in his life, as far as a major area of inquiry, the UFOs and aliens, what he saw at our conference and the speakers we had there was for the first time the church was actually ahead of the curve as far as major institutions in addressing this topic. You won't get the press, you don't get the colleges, and you don't get the government addressing this topic and having public open forums, but you did have a church presence or a Christian conference going on addressing this as real, as significant, and going into the theology of it. So he saw Mike Heiser speak there, and within about Mike's first talk wasn't even halfway over, and I knew Stephen just right then he was beelining to get Mike to come up and do it at the X conference, because it wouldn't be out of character probably for sometime for Stephen or the X conference to have a Muslim point of view represented on UFOs and aliens. It wouldn't be out of character to have the New Age view represented. But as a secular humanist, he's not committed to or strongly believes in any one particular form of spirituality. Like you said, but we are a religious species, so religion has to address this topic. And for many people on the planet, their religion is where they're going to go to for answers and truth related to this stuff,
mm-hmm.
especially the bigger a story it gets, especially the more it comes out in the news, especially if any world government makes an official declaration, says, yes, they're here. Get used to it. Well, then religion's going to play a large role in answering people's questions about who, what, why, where, and when, and our place in the universe is going to be drastically challenged, so to speak.
Yeah, and that's one of the issues Mike Heiser tackled in his novel, The Facade, which is just excellent. And again, you know, we talked about it before, and we recommend it again to people listening who are interested in the topic, not just for a well-written story, but also because Mike really covers a lot of the basic evidence and lays the groundwork for what Guy is talking about here.
A scholarly novel.
Yes, establishing it mm-hmm. as real and credible. But where is it all going? Where is the deception going, Guy? What do these fallen angels want from us?
That would be July 2005, UFOs and Bible Prophecy Conference.
If you want to know the answer, you've got to come.
We've done the past, we've done the present. The next logical question is, where's this all going?
Yeah.
So, now, there's many thoughts, there's many theories, there's many strands of biblical interpretation or just logical interpretation. But anything, if you ask the question, where is something going or what is the future, you're asking for a prophetic point of view. So, again, without being too much of a big plug, you know, in a way you do have to come to get that answered mm-hmm. or wait till after it's all available on DVDs later. But the most obvious things, the most elementary 101 things that I put out in my first book, Come Sail Away, in 97, is that a one-world government and a global deception is Christianity 101, if you believe in a futuristic view of the Book of Revelation, anyway,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
or the Book of Daniel, for that matter, is that there is a one-world system, and I think an alien presence or let's just say a worldwide belief in an alien presence, is the one thing needed to spur people into a one world system.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe that aliens are here, whether it's a hostile intention or not, it's just logical to for humanity to view itself as a single species.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Ronald Reagan said
it. That's right. Yep.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, this has been coming for a long time. Just from the Christian point of view, everything I see in Revelation and in the Bible is that the one world government, which is a logical idea, you know, have all money, currency, and all that stuff under one system. You know, no one thinks it's a bad idea. Cashless society would be great. People couldn't rob you. But the Bible just so happens to describe that as the Antichrist's world rule. That when we do achieve a one world government, it'll be under Antichrist,
mm-hmm.
and it'll be completely through deception and coercion that were brought about. So I think that's where the UFO alien thing is heading.
And if you want to hear and read more from Guy Malone, check out his websites, alienresistance.org, ancientofdays.net, and of course his Sunday night internet radio show, live from Roswell.com. All links will be at PIDradio.com. I'm Derek Gilbert. Until next time, thanks for listening.
On demand.
This is PID Radio.